when you say that you think Rick is having plumbing issues, what exactly do you mean? Are you just smelling some, like, it smells like ass?
No, it smells like backed up pipes.
What do backed up pipes smell like, though?
Sewage, gray water.
That smells like ass.
No, ass smells like ass.
What do you mean?
How do you not know what ass smells like?
It's a different thing. Like, there's a rotten quality to that that doesn't really fit the same category.
Really?
To me,
yeah. It's just like shitting everything else sitting somewhere for a long time, whereas, like, on your ass, it smells like BO and maybe a little bit of shit.
I mean, it smells like shit, but, like, if it's been sitting there for a while, it smells like a rancid shit.
Yeah.
Which is different.
Interesting. Because when you asked if Rick was having plumbing issues, my first thought was, oh, gosh, he's smelling me. I've had the shits all day ever since I ate a half of a hot chicken sandwich that my girlfriend brought me.
From Hattie B's Hot Chicken?
No, it wasn't, because there's Hattie B's and there's Prince's, right?
Yeah.
And those are, like, the main two. And when I eat either of those, it's like, delicious. And yeah, I'll have the shits tomorrow, but it'll be worth it. And that's just because I'm eating fried chicken.
Right? Yeah.
This is from a different place entirely, and it was almost instant. It was just like,
this shouldn't be inside me.
Pretty much. Also, she tricked me and got me, like, a spice level that was much hotter than what I normally get.
Wow. So, like, a 3.
Like, intentionally, or?
Yeah.
Do you like spice, or are you, like, a...
She likes spice. Okay. And so it's not like she bought the sandwich to mess with me. Like, she bought the sandwich at the spice level she prefers, which is significantly higher than the spice level I prefer.
Gotcha.
I can handle it. It's just... It's like,
clearly
oh,
not.
No, I can handle it normally, but it's like, oh,
whatever
reaches,
they do here is
it
different.
It reaches the point of diminishing returns, right, for spice right. levels, where sure. it's like, okay, now it's just for bragging rights and doesn't add anything to the food that I'm trying
right.
to eat here.
Yeah.
If I was going to do challenge shit, like, just give me, like, oh, here's a spoon of hot sauce. Like, okay, there you go. That serves that purpose.
Right, right.
Don't fuck up my food. but she got the spice level that she likes. And so she came and gave me the last half of her sandwich, and I ate it. And instantly, man, it's just, like, I was worried that my farts would be audible on the podcast tonight because
yeah.
of how much ass I've been busting all day today. Anyway, with all that said, hi, I'm Josh. I'm a analyst here in Nashville, and I am an urban street gang uniting against a common cause.
I'm Rick Fox. I'm an aspiring author, and I thought this movie was the world's end until just this last second.
I'm Andreas. I'm an analyst here in Nashville. I'm going to destroy that city block, damn it.
Just like that chicken destroyed my ass.
You're ready to
You call
one.
That the city block sometimes.
That's right.
I'm Brian. I'm an illustrator here in Nashville, and I'm a glowy tooth alien.
And we're opinionated.
And tonight we're continuing our listener request month. Tonight's request comes from Jake Waif on Twitter, I believe. He emailed us. Thank you, Jake. Tonight we're listening, watching. I don't know. We're listening to audiobook.
We're doing audio dramas now.
That's right. Now, tonight we are watching Jake's request, which was Attack the Block. Attack the Block came out in 2011. It was written and directed by Joe Cornish and has a 90 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn.
And it stars Jodie Whittaker, John Boyega, Alex Esmiel, Leon Jones, and many others.
Huh, this has an accidental connection to last week's Doctor Who thing.
Hmm.
A teen gang in South London defend their block from an alien invasion. So
it's
I really...
British, right?
Yeah, but also Jodie Whittaker is the new Doctor.
Isn't she? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was,
the
I was, like,
newest
am I crazy?
Doctor. I wouldn't yeah. call her new at this point.
Huh.
That's fair. But yeah.
Latest.
Yeah. Watch another doctor fight aliens in the world, you know.
Pretty much. I dig this premise. For the record, I know nothing about this movie. I had
Same.
Not heard anything about this before it was suggested to us by Jake. I know nothing. It's got really high reviews, and that makes me, like, I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
And also, like, the premise of an alien, like, an alien invasion, but in the wrong part of town.
Yeah.
Like, that's funny to me.
You picked the wrong house, fool.
I guess so.
Exactly.
I was really looking forward to this because I thought this was, like, in the Shaun of the Dead Hot Fuzz trilogy, the last one of those three.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, I'm realizing that it is a different movie entirely, and I am suddenly much more trepidatious about watching it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
For the podcast, anyway.
Sure. I'm looking at the movie poster, and the movie poster, like, it's Attack the Block, and then the tagline is Inner City versus Outer Space. And so I feel like this, you know, maybe not the same style as, like, Hot Fuzz, but right. I feel like it's going to be similar, where it's, like, the
British humor.
That British kind of, humor, that action comedy. And so that combined with the positive reviews and the positive, Rotten Tomatoes score, I'm like, I'm looking forward to this movie. I don't know anything about it, but I'm excited to get upstairs and watch it.
Here's the thing. If you give me the tagline, Inner City versus Outer Space, okay, I'm down for that. But when you tell me it's in London, like, it's probably just, you know, me being culturally assuming, like, you know, associating London and Britain with, like, oi there, chap, I'm a helpful lad. And the worst British accent ever. But, like, I'm not, like
the
thinking
idea that, like, the London street games are like, oh, come over here, mate, we'll scuff your shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Driving up for a drive-by and going, oi, Reginald, I disagree. And then driving off very quickly. Yeah. Like, that's what I think of as scary British people.
You've been teabagged as they fling an empty cup of tea at you.
Yeah, exactly. So I realize that is not accurate at all, and that there are actually some, like, incredibly dangerous people in Britain, but, like, it's not who I associate with it. So, and that's my mental image.
It doesn't line up with your poncy view of England.
Right. I'm expecting someone to, like, walk up to the alien and be like, chap, I say, here, can I lend you my walking stick while you since you've got all these tentacles? It seems very difficult. Difficult for you to walk. Oh, now, let me explain that you have jaywalked, and it is not okay to do so in London. You could get run over by a trolley.
See, I have been a little more aware of some of, like, the chav culture, just because of, like, some friends.
Just because, so, you know, a bunch of chavs.
And it's funny, because that being said, I'm like, oh, yeah, they are some, like, definitely dangerous people, and there's street gangs, and, like, there's real serious violent
folks. Fucking stab you.
Is exactly. Chav an ingredient?
No, chav. No. We
chive.
Chive.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Chavs are British white trash.
But that being said, it still feels like their gangsters are, like, the fancy cousins of our gangsters. Like, because yes, they're gangster, but also it's just a part of the culture that they drink tea. And you ain't find a gangster in America that drinks tea.
Sweet tea.
Well, sure.
Yeah, a lot of sweet tea. But I'll say this, too. Like, they just have British accents, and I just associate British accents with upper crust. And I can't get away from that. So, you know.
That's culturally insensitive to the chavs.
Well, look, I have heard
they
their
are lower class and proud of it.
That is all accurate, I think, from everything I've ever heard of about chavs.
Anyway, Brian, Andreas, you guys ever heard of this?
I've heard of it, never seen it. Heard a lot of people say, hey, go watch this movie, and just never looked
fuck
into
you
it.
Guys.
Sure, sure.
I didn't even know it was about aliens.
And Brian, it's your pick, so.
I think I saw it with Paul, but I can't really remember stuff that happened in it. I'm going to have to watch it and see.
Okay.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. We're going to go upstairs and start watching it. Before we do, though, quick plug. Rick has released his book on Amazon. It's available in e-reader and paperback forms. Rick, how many street urchins are in your book?
You know, I wouldn't call them street urchins, but they kind of fit the mark.
Do they fight monsters?
They do fight monsters, and they have happy British accents. You just have to read it that way in your head.
You just have to give them that voice.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, is there any govs ring in there?
There's at least three govs.
Okay.
That's a lie.
If you want to read Rick's Book of Lies, you can find it on Amazon. Again, it's called Fate's Pawn.
I'm going to have to write now Rick's Book of Lies. That's an excellent title.
Additionally, if you enjoy the podcast and want to help support us, our Patreon is live. That's patreon.com/opinionated. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to all sorts of bonus content that we put there, including first impressions, extra movie reviews, and listener requests, as well as even a few tabletop role-playing game episodes. So if you like us and want to help support us, definitely check that out. That's patreon.com/opinionated. Guys, we'll be back in just a minute after we're finished watching Attack the Block.
Attack the Block!
What is that, cuz?
That's an alien, bruv. Believe it. And I landed in the wrong place, though. You get the wrong place.
Welcome to London, motherfucker.
Well done, lads. We discovered a species hitherto unknown to science.
Believe.
Maybe there was a party at the zoo. Monkey fucked a fish.
Yo, check it.
More what?
Them tings.
Lovely fireworks.
Mom, it's an alien invasion.
Of course it is.
I'm killing them straight.
Let's get tooled up, blood.
Quite sweet, really, aren't they?
I just wish I could grow more facial hair than, like, you know, the average child in this movie.
No kidding. I gotta ask, as a Rogaine user, have you ever tried
putting it on my face?
Putting it on your face?
I have not. I never have.
No?
No.
Why not?
It just never occurred to me. I didn't really, never thought about it.
You should try it. You should try. You know, they say, like, okay, try it in a small patch first. Just try it in the sole patch area.
I mean, that is the direct opposite of where you're supposed to use it. Because the place that I use it is, like, to try and keep my hair from going back up further in my head.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to just be, like, on the back of your head and that side. I don't know why.
I thought, for some reason, when you're like, it's the direct opposite spot, I was like, face during, are you trying to grow more pubes? Like, what's going on?
I need that ash bush, man.
Oh gosh,
you don't want it.
I'm tired of wiping. I want to basically grow my own diaper.
I don't feel like that would lead to less wiping.
More showers.
No, more wiping, just less frequently.
Ah!
You just store it up, and then once every week you just go and empty the load.
I already have to cut enough shit out of my dog's ass for. I don't want to start doing it with mine.
Well, quit putting Rogaine up your ass.
It feels really good, okay?
Don't kink shame.
It's got a nice tingle.
Gosh. So, speaking of which, this movie was fun. I enjoyed watching this movie.
I did too. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It was weird because at first the extreme Britishisms, like the British slang,
it was hard to take seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was hard to take seriously, and I couldn't tell if I was like bad acting or British acting.
Yeah,
like I didn't know which one I was being annoyed by, and eventually I was invested in the characters, and I was buying into it, and I was down with it. But to begin with, I guess it had kind of a rocky start, because at the very beginning I was like, John Boyega's learning how to act in this movie.
Yeah.
Rats.
So early on in the movie, we kind of looked up what John Boyega's age at the time was, and it was 19. And
I think he was 19 when this was filmed. Yeah.
He definitely feels older than the rest of the kids in this movie. And so when at the end of the movie he says, like, nah, I'm 15, I'm like, bull fucking shit, you're 15.
Yeah, Bleach.
You're a hard 15.
Yeah.
No, but she said, Doctor Who said he looked a little older.
He did. Yeah. She did say he
grew up
older.
Hard.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
No, but like, even that being the case, I think I appreciate, and I mentioned it while we were watching, I appreciated that the teenagers in this movie aren't like your traditional Hollywood teenagers, where it's like, hello, I am like 27-year-old man trying to play 14-year-old.
Right, right. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
This is very clearly, like, John Boyega was definitely the oldest of those actors at 19. The rest of them were probably 17 or 18
playing their
like 15 and 14 year olds.
Yeah, I agree. I think that does help lend a lot of credibility to the movie, because like it's a lot more fun to watch a bunch of goofy kids run around than it is to watch a bunch of people acting and pretending they are goofy kids run around.
Yeah.
Like it just, something about that makes it feel more genuine, I think.
Well, and speaking to that, because the idea of like someone who's older pretending to be a little kid, it's funny because the direct opposite is what happens when you have actual teenagers in like their teen gang, which
they're
is
acting like they're
a bunch
adults.
Of teenagers trying to act like they're all hard and tough.
Yeah.
And I love that because they do, like, the movie starts and the first introduction we get to these kids is they're mugging someone.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And so it is like, okay, there is some danger to them.
Right.
But then like later after the alien has come down and they're like kidding up and they all go get their weapons, it's just funny because it's like, okay, one kid has a chain and the other kid has some fireworks. And like a couple of them maybe actually have like a knife or something like that. But for the most part, I appreciate that it's like teenagers with the teenage bravado almost.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of that opening, I'm kind of interested in the fact that they set it up as though Jodie Whittaker was going to be the main character, like, because it follows her for a while before she gets mugged.
Yeah.
And then almost as soon as she is mugged, it immediately turns to the kids and turns them into the main characters. And the way that it handles that and choosing to do that as the introduction to these characters in the movie, I think, is an interesting one, because it frames them with more danger than I think that you would have if they had not successfully just mugged someone.
Like if it opened with them getting ready to do the mugging,
it would be a very different tone than having them do the mugging and then they're just the main characters after that.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good way of setting up not just who the characters are, but their perspectives of each other, like seeing Jodie Whittaker's being right. afraid of them at first, really helps sell her change of pace towards them towards the end of the movie when they've been fighting these monsters for a little bit longer, and she gets that kind of respect towards them,
right.
and you know, looks at them a little bit more favorably.
Not only that, but it also gives them more credibility when they are killing monsters
yeah.
later. Because
yeah.
like, if you told me it was a gang of 14 and 15 mm-hmm. year old British children fighting giant gorilla werewolf monsters, then like,
well, they're small for gorillas.
I don't care how small they are for gorillas. These
yeah.
things should still rip apart everyone they run
well,
into.
Yeah.
Well, but I like the progression there, right?
Yeah.
Because you start off and you see the gang, and they mug Doctor Who, right? And it's like, okay, Jodie Whittaker, right?
Right.
Like,
I think her name is Sam.
Sure. They mug Jodie Foster, and I'm just doing that to mess with others. They do the mugging, and so you're, all right, they got a little violence to them.
Right.
Then the baby female alien, mm-hmm. whatever, the tiny one, plummets to Earth, and they see it, and it scratches John Boyega, which makes,
he gets
pissed.
A cool-ass scar from
He gets
it.
A cool-ass
oh, yeah.
scar.
I would be so happy with that. I'd be like, man, mm-hmm. I look badass.
Right, come here.
Not you.
but he treats it like, some other kid had come and kicked him in the nuts, right? Where
right.
he's like, fuck you, I'm going to come kick your ass.
No, yeah. he's going to kill it.
Yeah.
Well, sure, because it's not a person, it's an animal, right?
You
it's
can still just beat up an animal.
Are you saying
this
from experience?
Line?
Yeah.
No, but that, I mean, it's bigger than like murdering it.
Oh, man, I got
it.
Scratched by a tiger. Tiger, I'm going to come to your house and wreck your shit.
All right.
That'll teach you. You don't mess with us next time, tiger.
Here's the thing.
I think
you
so.
You don't do that for animals.
Wait, here's the thing. If you tell
We're
going to
go scare that snake off our turf.
If you tell me that you went to a tiger's place and you killed it, I'm going to have certain assumptions. I'm going to assume you came there with a gun and you shot it. Now, if you tell me you went into a tiger's den and you beat the shit out of it and walked away.
With your boys.
You are so much tougher than the guy that killed the tiger.
Yeah, but that's because that's a full tiger. If I yeah. was like, I went and killed like a teenage tiger or like a baby
yeah.
tiger.
Yeah,
this thing is
a
like,
lot less tough when you kill a baby tiger.
This thing is like a very large naked mole rat,
essentially.
Yeah.
But okay, but the violence goes up there, right? So they've
yeah.
got a little confidence from yeah. killing this thing,
right? And they're dragging its corpse around for
right.
of the movie.
Then they later on they meet up with the actual gangster, Hi-Hat,
right?
And he shows them a little respect. He shows John Boyega a little respect. He's like, "All right, I'm giving you a chance." Like,
yeah.
Here,
I'm gonna let you sell coke.
I'm gonna like. I'm giving you a chance to be on my inner circle. You can be one of my dealers for me, right?
Right.
So it's stepping it up. Then the next time they see like an actual big one, like a real one,
mm-hmm.
They kill it successfully, right?
Right.
And so they're gaining their confidence. So by the time that it gets to the end, where like they're running from them and there's a ton of them, it makes sense that they like turn and try to stand their ground because
right.
they've had success
him.
At each stage, and each stage has been a small enough increment up where it's like, okay, maybe they're a little scared, but they're standing their ground, and then they're successful, so now they've got more confidence for the next interaction.
Right.
And
yeah.
that happens until it kills one of them, and then they're like, oh, shit, and it like immediately plummets back down, and now they realize it as a real threat.
I would say that for me, it pushed too far, because by the end of the movie, I didn't take these things seriously as the threat they should be, because these things are like 500, 600-pound
yeah.
monsters with gigantic teeth.
Gorilla
like,
dogs, right?
These things should be, like, one of these things should kill every character in this movie,
Maybe they're not really googing our atmosphere or something. Like, ever since they came to Earth, they were doomed to fail.
It's got to be something like that, because
yeah.
these things are not as tough as they should be. And that's a shame, because, like,
they're a peaceful race. They just happen to have their one female killed, and they're a little angry about it.
They're not happy about it. Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
It's just in chorus, you killed all of our girlfriend.
Oh, God. Although, I am sort of weirded out by the fact that a bunch of kids with, like, some sticks can murder that thing. But
the first one?
Yeah, but impact from orbit into a car, it was fine. No big deal.
It's part of their weird protection. They don't have slashing protection, just impact
just
protection.
Just impact protection. Right.
That's right. They resist radiant, but not bludgeoning.
Didn't they show
yeah.
some kind of pot or something that one of them fell down in?
It's possible.
I'm pretty sure the first adult.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Did it?
Yeah.
For, like
for,
a mini
for the media. Big one, so the first one, the baby one, or the lady one, crashed into a car, so we don't really get to see what the impact, because at that point, it's still doing the whole, like, oh, you see, like, a flash of teeth and fang, and then
right.
it cuts
yeah.
away, so it's still, like, kind of a mystery what it looks like, right?
Right.
But later on, when we see, like, the impact crater from one of the big ones, there is, it looks like a, like, giant deflated peppercorn.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I guess there is, like, some sort of pod or egg sac or something that mm-hmm. they plummet to Earth in.
Yeah.
I like the design of the monsters a lot,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Because
they're pretty cool.
At first, I thought. So we see the female one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's small and almost like you said, like a naked mole rat. And then we see the big male ones, and they're these big bushy, like pure black things with glow in the dark teeth, and it's dope. And I thought that the fact we couldn't really make out what it was,
mm-hmm,
was it continuing the whole, like, oh yeah, a flash of teeth and fang, but you know, like trying to suspend the mystery, and then eventually we'll get to see it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's like they're made of that Vanta black material where no light can escape. Like, it shows them put their hand up to it, and it just looks like it's getting enveloped by it.
That was really cool.
And I think
cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a really cool idea. I especially love the teeth, because you do get a shot as one of them is dying where it this, like, radiant teal-colored glow-in-the-dark teeth kind of fades, and you realize that the teeth are actually kind of like this. They almost look like a hollow crystal with a glow-in-the-dark fluid inside.
I really want to know what that's about. Because, like,
I wanted to see more of that.
Yeah, or at least get some sort of explanation for what it is or what it's doing or why.
I assume it's like deep sea fish bioluminescence. Like, it attracts other things. They're like, oh, there's a leg over here, and they eat you.
Yeah, that definitely could be. I could see that being the case. It's just it's a very interesting visual, and that combined with the whole, like, Vanta Black thing it's got going on.
They gave a good reason for practical effect,
and
without, like,
tons of CG over it.
They gave a good reason for this thing to look really, really cool, without it being like, why is this thing, like, invisible all the time?
Right.
I was kind of expecting them to do something more with the teeth and the bites, though, because many alien movies, you get scratched, you get bitten, like, something's gonna happen, and when you have these really cool teeth, like, that was absolutely expected. They're going to do something cool with that, and then they just kind of didn't. Although I did like, I don't remember who it was that pointed it out while we were watching it, the way they kind of grinned at first looked like two little eyes with the two incisors, and then the mouth opens up and you're like, oh shit, that's a mouth.
Right. That's such a cool image, because it just throws you off completely of what you're expecting. Speaking of what the teeth do, I was pretty surprised when they actually started killing people.
Yeah.
Like, of the kids. Like, because you don't think that, like, oh, there's a bunch of kids, they'll be fine. It's these adults that are in trouble.
Yeah, because you think they're, oh, of course, some of the asshole, like, adult gangsters are going to get killed. Right. Sure. But, yeah, but, like, because who's the first kid that dies?
The helmet kid.
Yeah.
The one who's, like, who's the, Dennis, like, real cocky angry one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not just like, oh, they bit him and he died off camera. It's like, oh, they're attacking him. We see the teeth sinking into his helmet,
and blood starts shooting out.
Pops off and flies across the room.
And the whole time he's like yelling for the main guy to help him and save him.
That scene was really weird to me, because it was. So in most movies, I would have trouble believing that, like, someone would be courageous and go help their friend in that scenario.
Yeah.
In this movie, these characters are constantly diving headfirst into.
That they're like, they got the shit.
Yeah, they'll go in there and do that every single time. Like, every time leading up to this, they do. With worse odds than this. Yeah.
In this particular instance, moments before the aliens broke in, Dennis was like, hey, we got this. And most looks at him and said, no, not two at a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Dennis fires the pop gun and gets their attention. They jump in.
They give a reason to why he doesn't go in and fight this time. But
I don't know. I don't buy it. I just don't. Like, he has not shown a willingness to stare down. Like, he looked down the barrel of a gun of a guy who would definitely shoot him with no fear at all earlier in this movie. Like, that is worse odds than these two with a whole bunch of people there to,
Wasn't that later?
No, that was first.
When? What barrel?
When the guy finds him in the, like, after the, after they crash the.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have any issue with that.
But,
like,
he's got his whole crew with him.
He's got his whole crew now.
No, he's got.
It's just him and Dennis. Everyone else ran.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, still. I feel like if he jumped in there and started trying to stab these things, it would have been fine. And also, all it takes is one kitchen knife swung by, like, a tiny Jodie Foster or whatever her name is.
She had backstabbed
him. I mean, to be fair, that's all it takes to kill me.
I mean, fair.
You're a kitchen knife through the head.
That's fair. Yeah. But if I'm holding a katana and my friend is dying, I'm going to at least try to stab one of the
things. Stab through the couch or something.
It was
stuck
in the wall.
No, that was later.
That was after.
He was hiding behind the couch.
Yeah.
When his friend was getting killed, he was hiding behind the couch.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm saying, I thought you meant specifically when Jodie Whittaker came and stabbed
him. No,
he was planning to kill her. Or kill it.
He just fucked it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it just. it didn't ring true to me that he would sit there and wait. And it was more the fact that he barely had any reaction to his friend dying, I think, than anything. It was just sort of like, he's got that, like, ah, oh, a thing is happening face on. Like,
Well, and I don't know.
Could be shock.
Because, yes, it's weird that he didn't have a reaction to his friend dying. I agree with that.
He had a tear on his face.
A little tear. Yeah. But the group as a whole just kind of passed over it after it happened. Right?
Yeah, they didn't like Dennis anyway.
Right.
I mean, he was the asshole of the group.
But I kind of like the hesitation, because there were moments like that where I feel the movie kind of reminded us that he was a teenager.
Yeah.
And reminded us that, like, he's a bit over his head. And I like that it did that, because then at the end, when he's deciding, like, oh, I'm going to, like, put myself
basically
out there,
sacrifice himself,
yeah,
probably
sacrifice myself for the good of the block, it felt a lot more meaningful, because it was like, oh, this is, you know, this isn't just Bruce Willis being like, get out of here, I'm gonna shoot the bad guys.
See,
it felt a lot more like, oh, this is like a teen in his like quest for respect and like trying to be more of a man, where previously it had been like, oh, I'm gonna do that by getting like
taking advantage
of people, or getting bigger crimes to commit. Yeah. Like, I'm going to be a dealer. That's going to get me the respect and, like, the manliness.
And
that
we realize that
I want,
he's actually, like, way younger than he looks, and still lives in, like, a little race car bag with a shitty uncle.
Right. It was stuff like that, where because of that, at the very end, when he's stepping up to, like, you know, I'm going to. He was doing it for the good of the people around him, for the good of the block.
Yeah.
And it felt more impactful. I liked that they had scenes like that where it showed him being scared, or where it showed him being vulnerable, even though he was still, like, very much trying to have the tough guy facade in place. Yeah.
I think I would agree with you if I bought it in that scene. Like I said, that is the issue, is that I can't believe that this character, who has been established, would do that, because he's been like running in there to fight random monsters before. Like at the beginning of the movie, he didn't know how big or strong that thing was. He just knew that it scratched him in the face. Like, he jumped in there to fight that pretty easily on his own. There's a lot of situations where he does that prior to this, and it feels like this particular one comes out of nowhere. And from a more normal character, I would probably believe in it more, but just this one just did not work.
Yeah, but that was like do or die adrenaline, and that thing like was small and ran away from me and cornered itself, whereas this time they're coming
after
him.
And he had his whole
crew
backing him up against this one.
Yeah.
And even though it attacked him, it scratched him, so it would be like me going and be like, that big house cat scratched me and I'm pissed at it, as opposed to like this creature that I have seen murder multiple people at this point.
Yeah, I've established that it can kill stuff now.
Exactly.
I mean, but also I've established that I can kill it. So, like, I don't know.
With a car.
No, they killed the one. Didn't they kill the one that got into her flat?
Was that before or
after
that?
That was before. Because they come up to the like bunch of girls that are living afterwards.
Sam was there with her.
Yeah,
with them.
It just didn't work for me. That's the long and short of it. Like, I understand where you're coming from.
I think it worked for me because, like I said earlier, because of that escalation of conflict.
I would have liked to have seen a bit more conflict in his eyes throughout the movie. Because, like, first 2/3 of this movie, I hate their group because they don't acknowledge that they're assholes. They're totally assholes.
Yeah.
They killed this thing for fucking no reason.
Well, I do like that they acknowledge it later, though. And not specifically in the, like, oh, we just killed this alien for no reason, really. Like, they don't acknowledge it there. But at one point, when they meet up with Jodie Foster.
It's Clarice.
Clarice.
Let's go with that.
Sure. When they meet up with Doctor Who again. Like, they're like, yeah, we're cool now. And she's like, you guys mugged me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I like that it keeps coming back to that, like, nah, you guys are assholes.
If we knew that you lived here, oh, it's okay to mug people if they don't live next to you.
And she's like, yeah, that's kind of how it works. No, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Don't shit where you live.
Exactly. No, but I like that because it does acknowledge that they're kind of like they're a bunch of little shits, right?
I liked her character a lot more than I thought I would through the movie. She was a lot better than I kind of expected, because she seemed like she was going to be sort of like kind of useless, screaming in danger for the first half of the movie. And then, you know, she stabs one in the
head.
She's
the regular normal one.
Yeah, she's a lot more useful than I thought she would be, and I appreciated that. But I also appreciated that it took her a long time to get over these kids mugging her and, like, not stop giving them shit for it.
I thought
that was really, really strong for her.
She felt very much like an actual person, where it's like, oh, I have fight or flight, and in some circumstances, like, it's appropriate that the fight response wins, and in most of them, it's the flight one that wins.
Right.
That is perfect. perfectly reasonable as a normal person.
Yeah.
Also, I'm still mad at these assholes who mugged me.
Yeah.
Took
I like
her
that a
engagement
lot.
Ring or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also liked Ron and his weed room.
Yeah, he was really funny.
is Ron Nick Frost or
Nick
the
Nick Frost? Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I was gonna say I like Nick Frost. He's funny. Like I genuinely like him in basically any time I see him. But the other guy, like the Weasley loser dude that's in this movie,
not really. He's not really Weasley as much as he's just like preppy college guy who's out of his element.
He's just such a loser the entire movie. That's his entire purpose, and like he's there to get shit on and not do anything.
He's trying
to
find himself, man. And he doesn't know what he's supposed to be.
He ended up being exactly the character that I was worried that Jodie Foster would be. So like she is actually useful. She like helps people who are hurt, that whole thing.
He knew science shit, but I mean she could have just taking over that role.
It's okay to have. It's okay to have one of those characters, though. He gets some of the slapstick punchlines in there.
Yeah. It could be, but I need him to be funnier if that's what they're going to go. Mostly, I'm just annoyed by his presence in the movie.
I don't think he himself needs to be funny. The joke is that he's just a guy who's looking to get high, go to a party.
The jokes need to be funny. I don't necessarily need him to be like telling jokes.
I don't
jokes.
Think they necessarily need to be like proper ha-ha punchline jokes.
He's the butt of the joke.
Butt of shit going wrong around him.
I'm not saying I need to be belly laughing every time he's on screen. I need to enjoy his presence in the movie.
To just appreciate the jokes
him.
That he's a part
I don't,
of.
Yeah, and okay, I don't like when he's in the movie.
What is it that you don't like about him?
Literally everything. He is a complete waste of space. He's not that funny, and he's basically just there to give some exposition that doesn't really need to be given.
Not really, no. I mean, I appreciate it.
He doesn't really need it, because he's the one that's like, have you noticed you're covered in alien cum?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like that they gave some ideas for it. It definitely was not necessary. I agree with you on that. But I don't know. I like the guy in this movie just because I liked watching shit go down and just some random dude who it keeps happening to and he has no clue what's going on. I dig that
he kept seeing all this shit from the outside until he was finally like what the fuck?
He has nothing to do with the movie until like the last act.
He makes me think of the two Shiggy guys from Power Rangers who always
Bulk
were
and
like,
Skull.
Oh, yeah, Bulk and Skull, who are always seeing like from the edge, like, oh shit, we almost got to see the Power Rangers.
But see, like those guys have an actual drive in the in that show. Like they're trying to accomplish something, even if it's stupid and like just being bully dickheads.
Yeah,
this guy just is there, like, oh
he's
man,
he's there to be the butt of the joke.
Yeah, but he doesn't have any desire to do anything. Like he literally at one point while the alien invasion is going down just sits down on the couch, gets high and watches some Nat Geo. Like I'm not interested in that. I don't find him fun
And hold on, because that is a funny premise and you found it funny when Nick Frost was doing that.
Right.
But this guy it might be the actor, but something about it. Did you guys all watch Family Guy at some point?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
This guy, his existence is essentially that one recurring Family Guy joke where Cleveland's house blows up while he's in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Because something happens, and then this guy's just like, ah, shit. And then he, like, gets hit in the head with a bat, and then it cuts away to, like, our actual characters doing something
and
again.
I think the difference for me between that bit and this guy is that when it happens to Cleveland, I have, like, at least a tiny bit of attachment and sympathy for Cleveland. I like him. He's a perfectly normal guy, and I appreciate him, and he's just there, and he didn't deserve any of that. This guy is just a loser, and so when the world shits on him, I'm like, yeah, loser, get shit on.
That's mean, Rick.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I'm a bad guy.
I am a mean person.
You ass.
Yes, I will fully admit that.
What's wrong with a guy wanting to get some weed and go to a party, Rick?
Nothing is wrong with it, but I don't respect him for it.
You don't need to respect him. Just don't be like, ha ha, your life sucks.
I mean, that's what Andreas is doing. You guys are saying,
well, you're
fine.
Also Shiggy. You can both be Shiggy together then.
Yeah. We say, ha ha, your life sucks and don't hate him. And that makes us right.
Yeah.
I don't hate him either.
To be fair,
exactly. Back in.
Yeah. To be fair, if like he was a real human and this happened to him, then I would have sympathy for him. Like as a fictional character, it's different though.
Yeah.
Like that's
the
line.
If Andreas kept going to try and buy weed and like first his car blows up, then like a 13-year-old hits him with a bat, and then like a monster eats his shoes, you'd be like, sucks, Andreas.
Were you watching me on Tuesday or something?
Exactly.
No, I'd be like, all right, you still coming to the podcast though, right?
Yeah, I'm going to need a ride, though.
You're one of those bosses.
Right, yeah.
Still coming into work Monday, though, Ryan.
Right.
See, And I enjoyed that character for what he was, right? There was not a ton of depth to him. He's there pretty much to be the punchline for some jokes. Yeah. But I enjoyed it. The character I didn't enjoy was Hi-Hat.
Hi-Hat.
There's a fuck Hi-Hat. The actual gangster of the movie.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be Shiggy.
I think my issue
Shiggy
with him,
for Shiggy's sake.
I think my issue with him is that, like, so throughout the movie, I have diminishing returns on the threat of the aliens, right? Because they keep getting killed, and it seems to be pretty easy. Like, it's not as hard as it should be for giant monsters, right?
They are still a threat because they kill the cops and
but
stuff,
it's,
right?
But it's continually diminishing because these kids keep getting out of situations without getting attacked, only losing one friend. And killing tons of these things. Like, they kill, like, five or six of them throughout the movie.
The John Boyega kills like five or six. The rest of the kids get lucky and kill like one.
One 15-year-old gets five kills on these things. It takes a little bit of their threat away for me.
Look, he's got a lot of pent-up feelings about his uncle that he has to work through.
Bringing it back to Hi-Hats, because we have this constant diminishing returns from the aliens, and this motherfucker just keeps getting out of situations where he shouldn't and coming back and be like, I'm the bad guy. I'm super badass.
The only situation he really got out of was the elevator, and all three of them had guns.
Yeah, I don't believe he should have gotten out of the elevator. Like, that should have been the
gun.
If the fucking kids with their baseball bats and rockets can kill it, then fucking three guys with guns get to kill one.
That's fair, but at least those kids are not in an enclosed space with it. Like, if he shot it as it was coming down the hall, I would have no problem.
He shot at it while it was coming down the hall.
And clearly,
it was
he just ran from it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He weakened.
Anyway, it was more. It was less believable to me.
These were my swinging arms. I can't do that no more.
It was less believable to me that he came out of that completely unscathed and like, I'm still going to kill that John Boyega kid.
He had big cuts on the back of his neck, head.
No, that was just other people's.
Oh, that was already there.
He just always looked
real hard.
Cut himself shaving.
Right. Him continually coming back and feeling like his threat is bigger in some ways than the aliens did not work.
That's because violence on youths and drugs is more dangerous than aliens are to the youths.
I mean, that's accurate because aliens aren't actually dangerous to the youths. But still, it did not work for me to have these two threats where the one that I'm actually interested in is the one that's constantly getting defeated over and over again.
Yeah.
Whereas the other guy I just don't care about and he keeps coming back.
I think it would have worked if he'd like come back with a limp.
Something,
or like come back and one arm was hanging like limply at his side and the other one was still holding the gun or something.
Yeah.
Where like
he
took some damage. Because as it looks like he comes out unscathed
aside from being bathed in HD gashes on the back of his head.
I still didn't see those. I believe you, but I didn't see them.
They were pretty fucking...
They didn't seem to affect him at all that I saw.
Well, I mean, he's full of cocaine.
I think what I would need is more of a reason for him to be so focused on murdering John Boyega.
That's what bothered me.
Because that feels very petty.
And
yes,
forced.
That's exactly
he's a petty
what I
fucking
called
out. Asshole.
He is, but I would buy it so much more if, like, when they were, you know, after the car accident when they're in the tunnel.
Yeah.
Like, if John Boyega had been there and he'd just got the sword and, like, that guy's expecting him to back him up as he goes and fights one of these monsters, and he turns and runs with his friends instead to help them, I'd buy into this more. He betrayed him directly there. But this guy's just right from the beginning like, oh, you came out of a cop car? I'm going to shoot you now.
Well, he did ruin his whip.
He did. But still, like, that's...
My whip.
I need that betrayal to, like, believe that there's this personal stake that he has in killing
this
kid.
I don't want him to be justifying what he's doing. I like that he's a peggy piece of shit.
Well, no, I think...
Well, he can be both.
Yeah, I think you could have it be like, two grown men going to go fight a monster, and the 15-year-old goes to help his friends with the monster they're all dealing with, and like he's pissed about him not helping him instead. Like, you could set that up.
There's a perfect scenario for it, which is so we already said at one point John Boyega, like, he's impressed Hi-Hats a little bit, and so Hi-Hats is like, hey, here's some coke. Like, you're my new, I'm putting you on a trial run as my new dealer. Don't fuck it up, right?
Yeah.
And then later, John Boyega gets caught by the cops for mugging Doctor Who earlier.
Right.
And then they find those drugs on him. The perfect opportunity would be just John Boyega doesn't even have to do anything different, but for Hi-Hats to think that John Boyega ratted him out about the drugs and where he got them.
Yeah.
Because then it all feels justified of
sure.
Not just, oh, you lost some of my drugs, but specifically you ratted me and my operation out.
Right, yeah.
Like, I know that eventually I'm going to be going to jail because of you snitching.
I trusted you, and on the day of trusting you, you fucking
You rat me out, so now before I get arrested, I'm coming to find you and kill you.
I feel
right?
that
like,
might
that
work.
Feels justified.
I feel like that might work, but I think to do that effectively, you would have to have the police be a more present force in the movie.
Which is funny because they are throughout the movie at regular points, but they just feel inconsequential.
Yeah, they just don't matter at all.
And I think the best part is when they're arresting John Boyega and like the aliens coming up on him and they hear the sound. Like one cop hears the sound of his other cop buddy getting munched on.
Right.
So he's like, I better check it out. And because it's British like cops, he like flicks open his baton to go find
yeah,
out what's going
exactly.
on.
Immediately
yeah.
dies.
Yeah. that is funny. It just is. Like, we talked about how it's hard to take British thugs more seriously. British cops, it's so much worse. Because I'm like,
yeah.
Nah, you're not a... It's cute. I feel like I could walk up to a British cop, slap him in the face, and walk away with no... And he'd just be like, well, that was very rude of him.
You can't chase me. It's not the changing of the guard yet.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're not allowed to. I said no.
Yeah. There's a lot of Britishisms that are unintentionally funny because I think this was initially this is a UK movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so these are all things that would land perfectly fine in the UK.
There'd be a lot more cultural attachment to it there.
Right. And it would be like if, you know, we had a movie with folks with a deep Southern accent in it where we understand, like, oh, because they have that accent, I'm making assumptions about the type of person they are, the culture that they come from.
Right, right.
Just because I'm American and I understand this.
Right.
Whereas someone over in the UK is going to be like, ha, they said yeehaw.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that it's sort of like when we had to have the subtitles on and we're like, I'm really glad these are here because I would have questioned the thing that I heard, but it would have been the thing that they said.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, the amount of bruvs and inits in this movie.
Good Lord, yeah.
What was the word you had to look up?
What was it?
Rassaman or something like
that? No, that's something else.
Ragwan. Ragwan.
Ragwan.
No, that's Wagwan.
Wagwan. Yeah.
Wagwan is
what's going
slang
on.
For what's going on.
We are the whitest motherfuckers that have ever... Rasklat. It was that.
Rasklat.
Yeah.
Which apparently is like a boil on the inside of your asshole or something.
No, it's like it literally tries to...
Oh, it's an ass clot.
Yeah. Ass cloth, I think. But
I thought you said clot.
No, there's also blood cloth. Too. Like, I think it's just your shitty underwear, man.
Oh, so you're calling him an asswipe?
Yeah.
Okay. Still.
That's the direct thing. I don't know if that's like what it actually means when people say it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But one character just says Rasklot to the other one, and we're like, okay, what? Don't know.
They don't use real slurs because like that's a poggy mouth, and that would be bad.
Yeah. But no, we are all very white and very not British, so we're like, what the fuck is that?
It doesn't help that a lot of that was actually Jamaican slang.
Right, yeah, like specifically, yeah.
Yeah, which we just don't encounter very much in the U.S.
Well, and
or at least not in Tennessee.
Not here, yeah.
Well, and I mean, that's how any like slang comes about. Yeah. It's an amalgamation of the cultures that make up where you're from.
Right,
yeah. And
yeah,
it all
sure.
gets mixed together and you come up with stupid non-words.
Like non for bread.
No, that's delicious, and also not a slang, just another language's word for that.
Like I actually had it for the first time last night. So
good. You're over here like stupid words, like taco for a folded open-faced sandwich. Who even calls it that?
You think tacos are sandwiches?
Folded open-faced sandwiches.
No.
Effectively.
Per the cube theory of sandwiches, a taco is a taco.
I'm with him. Tacos are tacos.
Sides.
Tacos are not sandwiches.
Also, a hot dog is a taco. Is there is
so then is an
now
open face.
Now I feel betrayed by both sides of the table.
A pizza is a sandwich. A pizza
what
is an open
face. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I went to culinary school, motherfuckers. I know what I'm talking about.
They're
I
wrong.
Won't believe
they
you
can
now.
Be wrong and have a school
no,
about being wrong.
We are
wrong.
The authority on food. Learn from me.
The incorrect authority.
All right. I might accept this if you took two pieces of pizza and put them together because then you got bread
that's
on both ends.
That's just a taco.
What the fuck?
No, that's a calzone.
No, calzones are closed.
Yeah,
no, that's like, not closed. That's
it's not
folded.
Closed. Yeah, there's still bread. There's not. It's not completely encased
oh, yeah.
in bread.
Look, okay, no,
a burrito is a calzone.
Look, there are main elements that make up a sandwich. You have to have the bread. That's the delivery vehicle. You have to have some sort of sauce, whether that's a little butter or some mayo, maybe even some like.
So wait, if I just have if I have bologna and cheese between two pieces of bread, that's not a sandwich anymore?
Not by the literal. No, you have to have bread, you have to have sauce.
Look,
nope. Depends on if the cheese is melted.
What about
take
Turkish
your word on this?
You have to have filling, and then you should have garnish.
All right,
that
who here
be
votes
optional.
We boot Josh out of the podcast.
Look, all I'm saying is that you guys don't take me seriously when I tell you what a story is. I'm not taking Josh seriously when he tells me what a sandwich
both
is.
Both of you can be wrong, because you are.
I'm not wrong.
No.
So this movie.
Oh, gosh. I forgot what we were... We were talking about slang.
Right, yeah.
And how the Britishisms in this movie are funny. Like,
they're hard to take seriously.
When I can understand it, I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because the British, street slang is fun. And I think it's funnier to me because it's coming from a bunch of kids, right? Like there's the two little pipsqueak kid characters,
right.
Like, cause you got your main gang of characters that are all like 14, 15, 16. Right. But then you've got the two little kids who are both 8 or 9 who want to join the gang, but they're just too little.
Man, yeah. I do really love that bit of them finding them later and being like, we've got our weapons, and one of them has a little pop gun that looks like a real gun, though, and they take that away, but they don't realize that the other kid has a super soaker filled with fucking gasoline.
Yes.
And so, that was clever. I enjoyed that.
I like how made a brief reference like, hey, what's in that? And they're like, oh, wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, exactly.
I figured it was gonna be pee.
That's what I was thinking too.
Acid, something like that.
That is one thing that they did a good job with this movie. They didn't foreshadow a ton of shit, but they did call out what they're going to do and then pull it off later. The kid jumping from one walkway to the other.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, I'm going to do it. And I was like, don't do it.
That was real. It was kind of ham-handed in
that
some ways.
A couple of times were oh, they're totally doing do that.
Yeah.
Other times there were
other scenes that were a little more subtle that I appreciated. Like one of the kids, because there's a scene where they're all gearing up to go fight the aliens, right? And so they're all, because they all live on this block.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Which block means, they call it an estate as well. It's basically a giant block-wide apartment complex.
That somehow only has 12 people in it, but...
it's a back part town.
I mean, fair.
They're all going to their individual homes, their individual apartments to gear up. And one kid is he limps into his home, and his grandma's like, "What? You all right? What's wrong?" He's like, "I just twisted my ankle." And he's faking because he wants to sneak out his baseball bat and fireworks,
right?
Which is really clever.
Yeah,
and
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Because he slides it down his pants leg, and that's what's giving him the pretend limp.
Exactly.
In case you haven't seen the movie,
but so he's limping in so that he can limp back out, and it makes sense. But then that's the same kid that later on gets bit on that leg. And so for the rest of the movie, he actually does have that limp.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that's the more subtle foreshadowing that I enjoy.
There was a particular moment in that scene that I really enjoyed that I figured they would come back to, and they finally did. When they're all going into their various apartments and homes to, arm up for the fight, we see everyone go into their homes and go out and pick out a weapon and leave and sometimes talk to their family members. Moses, we just see go up to the door, open it, step in, close it, never see inside his apartment until way later in the movie.
And they make a point of it because they set on the number of his door and zoom out a little bit.
Yep.
One thing I will say, though, is that in that scene, they force in one of the kids having to take his dog along just so they can kill that dog.
Yeah. No, so fucking, that's my least favorite thing is where they fucking off the hand, let's kill this dog off screen for no reason.
Well, you don't see the dog die. The kid's just
it could have gone away.
Fido, where'd you go? And then you just hear a yelp and it's
Maybe he got away, but
my issue with it is that I think that scene would be a lot more impactful in this particular movie if they had killed a kid in that scene somehow. Mm. If that would have sold
they kill the kids later, right?
They kill one later, but
two.
Oh yeah, they do get a second one. Yeah, I forget about that. But you could have another kid here to get killed for this.
Imagine if instead of the dog, since y'all are so opposed to dogs dying in movies and stuff,
they're pure being.
If the grandma had been your cat needs to go out, take your cat out.
I would feel bad about that too.
I'm not super opposed to the dog getting killed in the movie. I'm opposed to the way it happens because the dog is forced into the movie in this scene just to go get killed.
There's no bonding with
it. Maybe if the dog had been there with them from the get-go. One kid's got his dog with him.
Have that dog lead them to the monster after it runs away, or have it be useful in some way beforehand.
Have it sacrifice itself for its own.
I mean, that works
too.
I don't even need it
to be useful. I just need it to be
I need to give a shit about the dog if I'm going to care when it dies.
So even as little as, because they're all on their bikes and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Even a couple scenes where the kid who's got the dog, you see everyone mounting up on their bikes to take off, and he like picks the dog up and puts it in the basket before he like takes off.
Something,
It's that kind of like, oh, like they're attached and he's cute and then the dog's part of the gang too. Right. Yeah.
As it stands, this is just like a cheap way to get an emotional reaction early in the movie.
Sure. Yeah. And it didn't land, so that's why I didn't care.
Yeah,
for
no, it was bad. But speaking of the kids, as a whole, I like them because they feel like a tight-knit group of friends.
Mm-hmm. Until individually, one of them dies and no one cares.
Individually, like, they're okay.
Yeah,
it doesn't add up.
Other than John Boyega, I don't get a lot of distinct personality traits from most of them. And that is a problem.
Yeah. I feel like the little fake British kid who got her leg had like a fair amount of
He had enough screen time that I had attachment to it, but I couldn't really tell you much specifically about him except he's a weedhead. Like, that's
and
about
he
it.
He likes hitting on much older women.
No, he's like the funny guy of the group. Right, because you had John Boyega who's taking on the role of like the level-headed leader.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You've got the first guy that dies, who was wearing the helmet.
Yeah.
Who's definitely
the
like
hothead.
The hothead, the aggressive guy. You've got the second kid that dies,
glasses,
who was like the like, oh come on, calm down guys, we're all gonna be. He was like, I guess the nerd, but
he's
not so
kind
much
of
as
the
like
scariest
smart.
One.
I think,
yeah.
I think what it is that they act collectively a lot.
Yeah.
And because they act very collectively a lot of the time, which is believable, it detracts from their specific personalities.
Yeah.
So like I do get the things that you're saying and where you're coming from with that, but because they are so like, oh, we're all attacking now? All right, we're all attacking
but
now.
But this movie would have been a lot longer if we established all of those kids individually as characters.
I don't think we need a whole lot of time to differentiate them.
Yeah, you just
like they all give their like dare based introduction, like
no.
I'm the cool kid. I do sports.
I just need more specific reactions that feel character based from them throughout the movie.
And also, like, we could have spent like, give us two more minutes when they're gearing up to see them a little bit more in their like home context of who they live with, how they live, what their rooms look like, get an idea of who they
one
are.
One of them
person.
Say a small like Jewish prayer to their menorah and leave.
Anything. Literally anything. Because that is the closest we get to seeing what these kids are really like outside of this
context. I do think that would have been a perfect opportunity.
Yes.
Even being able to like see their rooms, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe the hothead has like a bunch of like, I don't know. He's got
Barbies,
like corn. No, like corn and like death metal posters.
Wait,
up on
was
his
the
wall
hothead the one with the katana?
Yes.
Originally, yeah.
Okay, like he got the smaller one and then stopped and thought about it and came back and got the bigger katana.
I take
like
them both.
That was take them both. Yeah,
right.
But you can have stuff like that where, and maybe I guess just pay a little more attention to it because right now I don't know if they did any of that. There could have been things in those rooms that they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna make each of these kids, you know, kind of
distinct and feel
unique in their own right through their surrounding." But because it was over in like 5 seconds, I didn't catch any of it.
Right, right.
Yeah. But I feel like I agree. Like that's a perfect opportunity for that. And although I'm able to like quickly pick out the role that each of the kids takes in the group, I do agree that they all, aside from like the pothead funny guy of the group and John Boyega, everyone else just kind of meshes together.
I didn't really get why they decide to separate the fluffy haired kid on the moped early.
I think just to give the kids that moment at the end
to burn the thing. Yeah. I mean, the kids could have found a monster by themselves trying to prove
it.
It wouldn't have
the same impact if they're not saving someone that we care about.
That's fair.
Except least a little bit.
The block could have gotten cornered and then fucking
that would have been
kids being like, we're part of the block too. We're Block Junior.
They're saving him, right? And also, I think separating him from the group gives our main character a like enough time to himself, right? Because we need to have funny pothead kid is there to be the humor, right? Once his leg is wounded, he doesn't really do anything productive for fighting the aliens. He's just like, oh, he's like the funny guy in the background.
I do appreciate that, and he does pull his weight though. Like,
he does.
Yeah. Like once he's wounded, I expected him to be like, oh, my leg is hurt, guys.
He's the background.
And then he's just like, nah, he's hopping along doing his part.
Firing rockets.
I'm too busy to be hurt.
Yeah.
But they had to isolate John Boyega so that, okay, now he can step in and be like the hero that saves the day.
Right.
And so they had to isolate him from the rest of the crew. Some of them got injured. Some of them died. And then curly haired, like Pee-wee of the group had just like
I was
sat
surprised
scared in a bin.
It felt like that thing was like attacking him in that bin for like 30 minutes and could not figure out how to open it. And that felt really weird.
Well, I don't think they're really that smart.
I think it's interesting because once they explained, like, oh, it's like attracted
scent
to the
based.
Smell,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It showed it just like looking and staring at it. And whenever curly haired kid would
when
like
some of the stank would
get
out,
yeah, when
it,
when he'd open the lid and some of the stank would get out, then it would be all aggressive, and
I
then eventually it would die down again.
I think you could have foreshadowed that a little bit by having whatever's in there be really smelly and let him get out that way.
Oh
like,
yeah, walking
it covers
dead
up the
style,
scent,
but
yeah.
he didn't know about that.
It's, right, but
it's,
we
it's
could
like
figure it out that
he's
way.
He's just smearing like shit and banana peels all over.
Right, exactly.
Why are there always banana peels in trash cans? Do a lot of people eat a lot more bananas than I think?
Yes.
Yeah. Bananas are very popular.
Also, bananas are funny because you can slip on them, and even when they're trash, they're still like a shape, right?
Yeah,
like the banana still like holds it, like it's still a banana peel as opposed to banana scraps, right?
Yeah.
You don't get banana scraps, you get
you
a banana
get like
peel.
An orange scrap. You can.
Yeah, you can get orange scraps.
Or an orange peel, whatever.
like 2 second pause.
No, but like...
What am I supposed to do with this information?
It's orange scraps. You don't peel the orange in one go.
I do.
You what?
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
if you're good
like,
at it, you can.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you went to culinary school. How did I teach you how to peel an orange?
We're about efficiency, Brian. Efficiency. I'm not taking the time to meticulously peel the orange in one go.
I'm just imagining you like throwing an orange in the air and like cutting it in half and ripping it apart.
You haven't seen one of those like YouTube do-it-yourself things where they're like, oh, that's how you're supposed to peel it the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Like and subscribe.
Those are the assholes that are like, monkeys peel bananas from the ass.
They do.
It's easier.
Go on.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't peel bananas from the stem. You peel it from the ass of the banana.
Yeah. Pinch the bottom tip of it, and it just splits right open.
Yeah, and you just peel it. Yeah, but it also mushes the bottom half of the banana.
No, you don't grip it like this. You take your two fingers. And
I
you
got
go,
big
boop.
Old man hands, Andreas. I can't help but mash that banana.
Use the force, Andreas.
It
use
is
it.
Bigger than you, no, Andreas. But you're about the same size.
Why are you trying to grope Josh? Quit touching each other.
I think yours is longer, but his is meatier.
All right, we need someone to volunteer a banana so we can practice mushing it.
We need a banana for scale here, guys.
Let's talk about our final thoughts.
All right, I thought this banana was...
Brian, this is your pick, so we're going to go around the circle and get to you. I guess I'll start us off. I enjoyed this movie. It was fun and funny, and I liked the design of the creatures a lot. Unfortunately, there's not a ton of it that like really stands out and punches me, right? Like
right.
It was a fun movie that if someone brought up, I wouldn't like be opposed to watching again. But there weren't a ton of scenes that I was like, man, like a week from now, I'm going to think back and remember that scene in Attack the Block. Like that was cool, right?
To be fair, there is one. Like that scene when John Boyega is running down that hall being chased by
him.
That's
that
pretty
was definitely
damn cool.
The money shot.
But
very,
I do agree with you.
That was very cinematic. It was a cinematic shot, but I don't know that it's like a
gonna
scene,
stick with you. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think if I had to pick my least favorite part, it would be the role of the bad guys, because high hats and I because it feels like there's more bad guys than just him, but really he's the main like non-alien antagonist. The other ones are just like some cops that are occasionally like there for a moment, and then the guys like our team runs away. Right?
He's definitely the villain with the most like character to it.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
I was gonna pick him, but I feel like. I don't know. I guess I'll say that I wish it had a little more substance to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not because what's there is bad, but just because I feel like they could have done more to make it more memorable.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah, it's good. I just don't know if it's 90% good. Like, I'm really surprised with that rating.
I could see 90% of people saying, yeah, thumbs up. I appreciate this movie.
Oh, yeah,
but
versus
like,
thumbs down.
Not like a 90% of, like, quality. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's hard because I feel like we've all kind of just said things we appreciate about it,
right?
For the most part, but it does feel like there's something lacking, not necessarily in terms of story or even style, because I like the style of the monsters and I like the aesthetic of it. And like you mentioned, there's that scene where he's running down the hallway, and there's a couple of those, like the one where he just like vaults over the couch with a katana to slice into the thing's neck.
Yeah,
there are very memorable shots of the movie. But I guess I just wanted
a little more
meat in the sandwich, you know what I mean?
A little more sauce on that sandwich? That is apparently necessary.
It is. If you don't have sauce on yours, if you have bologna cheese and bread, you don't have a sandwich. You have bologna cheese and bread.
How many tacos would you give this out of 5?
I haven't said my favorite part. My favorite part is the design of the monsters. I think it's really cool. Yeah. I love the fact that eventually once they kill one and they get a chance to closely inspect it, nothing changes. It's still just pitch black and you can't see what it is.
The glow leaves its teeth when the soul leaves the body.
Right. The glow leaves the teeth, which is neat because I like that the teeth look like eyes. Until they roar at you and then start chasing you and stuff. I really like the design of the monsters. They were really cool. Overall, though, I think I'm going to give it 2.5. Not because it's bad, but just because it's middle. It's middle of the road. It's good but forgettable for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to give it 2.5 tacos with sauce, which is what makes them folded open face sandwiches, out of 5.
So. It feels weird not you going and then me going. We almost never do that. The thing about this movie is I think you nailed it on the head when you said that there's not enough substance to it. That is definitely probably my least favorite. Definitely my least favorite thing about it as well. There's something about this that is missing, something that's needed to make it stick. And I think it's the lack of character from a lot of these characters. They have sort of distinct personalities, but I don't really come away from it feeling like I know any of them, except maybe John Boyega. Mm-hmm. And I don't even really feel that attached to him because his character is so standard archetypal youth that's troubled but has a heart of gold and cares about his friends. That to me just doesn't stand out. And so while I appreciate him and I enjoy his character, I think that is my least favorite part. My favorite part though is it's hard not to pick the design of those monsters because it's real damn cool.
It's really good. Yeah. It's really good.
It really is. But I
even like how the one that attacks a dude, later you see his teeth glowing and it's got this reddish tint to it now.
Because
the blood's on the teeth, but the light from the teeth is still shining through it.
That looks amazing.
I was a little disappointed that they didn't do a whole lot of with the monsters in the darkness, hunting them.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part of it though is I think it's hard to pick a favorite part of this movie. Give me a second.
While you're thinking, the four elements to a good sandwich is the bread, the spread, the filling, and the garnish, which could be things like pickles or...
Why are you spreading open the sandwich? That just sounds like a terrible idea.
To fill it. Which is why
is the
a
spread
taco...
the sauce?
The spread would be any sort of sauce, that traditional condiment, which is why a taco, if it's done right, because you got your meat and cheese in there, you've got your sauce, which is usually some sort of sauce on the meat, but it could even be hot sauce or sour cream or guacamole could act as the sauce in there. And then you've got your secondary ingredients like the lettuce and onion and chopped tomato, stuff like that. So that's why... Even though it's folded up, the taco is technically a sandwich. Sorry, continue with your final
thoughts.
But
that's dumb. If I get a plain sandwich or a plain taco, it should not no longer be considered those things.
What do you mean?
If I get a plain taco,
wait a second,
which is
I have a question.
Meat on a taco shell, for some reason that's neither a sandwich
that's
or a taco.
That's not a sandwich. That's a meat roll-up.
I have a question.
No, it's not
if
rolled
get,
up.
It's if, a meat fold-up.
If I get a made. Soup in a bread bowl from Panera, does that become a sandwich?
Soup in a bread bowl.
Open face, yeah.
No, because it's enveloped on all sides.
All right, we can do our sandwich podcast later. We're back to Attack the Block.
Depends on the soup.
Jesus.
Tomato bisque.
Tomato bisque is not a sandwich. Tomato bisque in a bread bowl is not a sandwich. However, chunky beef stew in a sandwich. Chunky beef stew in a bread bowl is a sandwich.
What happens if you put a sandwich in a bread bowl?
Josh, when you edit this, I expect you to put all of this at the end of the podcast.
No, this is all going
anyway,
in the podcast.
Anyway, my favorite part of this movie is I talked about a little bit about how I didn't feel like the characters were, how their effectiveness took away from the threat of the monsters. But I do want to say my favorite part about this is that the kids are effective. In a lot of movies where the kids are protagonists, they kind of just feel like they are there experiencing the things, but they're not really having an effect on what's happening.
Especially
and I appreciate...
when there's the adult character,
exactly.
Doctor Who is in this one, right?
Yeah, and that is not the case in this. The kids are very much the driving force of the events in the movie, and I appreciate that. And it's very effective in making me believe that they could do that. So all that said, I do agree that this movie is not going to leave much of a mark, but I think I want to give it a little more credit than you did. So I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 bloody glowing teeth.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Just like the movie's not bad.
Yeah. Andreas.
I think the best way to describe this movie is just entertaining.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this is an amazing movie. It's changed my life. But you know what? For the 90 minutes that we were sitting down watching this movie, I was thoroughly engaged and entertained the entire time.
I'd agree with that.
Which leads me to my favorite part. And this is something I didn't even consider until we were sitting down here talking and you mentioned it, Josh. But the pacing in this movie is really good.
It really is.
Like, it has its highs and its lows, but they are just paced out right so that, you know, you have a big thrilling scene, and then you have a little bit of a wind down period, and you can see the characters talking and interacting, and get to know them a bit better, and then, oh, fuck, something new is happening. And they managed to keep this up throughout the entire movie. I can't think of a single time that dragged on either with too much action or too much downtime.
Right, yeah.
And honestly, like, that's part of what makes this so entertaining, is that it does not leave you that moment of thinking, oh, what time is it? Let me check my phone. And then you lose track of the movie for 5 minutes. And you're like, oh, fuck, what
we
happened?
We even remarked it. We were, like, the credits were rolling and we're like, dang, we're through it already?
Yeah.
Felt fast, even though it was a full length, like, it was an hour and a half long movie.
Yeah.
So, ultimately, favorite thing, pacing. It's really damn good.
It really is.
Least favorite thing, I touched on this earlier. I would have liked to see more individual aspects about these kids and not them as a collective, because you pointed this out well, Greg, is that they often act as a collective, but that doesn't tell us much about their characters individually.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to see more of them personally. And then, we get that collective action out of them because they are a experienced group. They've been doing stuff together for a long time. They're all good friends, but it just feels like they're homogenous at times.
Yeah. I think maybe if they had split them apart more and like had them go off in two kids at a time, and you could
that
have them play
the
off each other.
That is the best idea when there's monsters to split up.
Exactly. Yeah. It's cover more ground.
Exactly.
Kill more
good
monsters.
Good for character development.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
You started off alive and now you're dead. You've developed.
Your arc
is kind of thought that that's where they were going with it when they had the whole chase across the block on their motorcycle and the
they
dirt
were
bike and everything.
And
then we'd learn about them individually or something. But no, just the one kid who sat there in the dumpster for the rest of the movie doing absolutely nothing. He was
it seemed to work out really well.
Yeah, he lived. but overall, I'm going to have to give this 3.5 dumpster kids out of 5.
All right. Well, Brian, we've made it all the way to you. It was your pick. What do you think?
It's kind of muddled for me, like what I like and don't like about it kind of run hand in hand, because it's like I really like how human the characters are. Like, they're not good guys, but at the same time I hate them for the first 2/3 of the movies.
Right.
They bring the shit on themselves.
Yeah.
They're shitty and they just go and kill a space animal for no reason.
You're really on about that, aren't you?
No, that's a big fucking... You don't kill something that scratches you. You, like, catch it or something. You don't beat it in a corner to death.
If it's an alien, I probably do.
When a bee stings you, you squash it.
No, because the bee will fucking die on its own.
When a wasp stings you, you squash it.
Here's
okay, wasps,
when
wasps
a wasp,
are bastards.
When a wasp exists, you murder that fucker. It is kill or be killed with wasps.
Yeah.
Well, and but for these kids, it's kill or be killed with aliens.
No, it wasn't kill or be killed. They approached it. It was freaked out from breaking fucking orbit and scratched it and ran away.
And then they hunted it down.
All I'm saying is that the alien was the initial aggressor.
I guess. But it did de-aggress really fast, and he's like, no, I'm going to fucking rape this in front of its children.
Jeez.
How is this different?
One has
his dick out.
We didn't. It was dark.
We didn't see what John Boyega.
Yeah, they all went in there
with.
And they all came
that's
out.
That's why
we
his
didn't
jacket
see if
was
there
covered
was
in
out.
Stuff.
Gosh.
And then they paraded the body around, like, yeah, bruv. But like, I appreciate that he was just a troubled teen who didn't know any better. And my favorite part was like basically after his friend died, when the shit hit the fan and everyone's like, this is your fault, and that. They finally acknowledge that this isn't just fucking kids having a good time.
Right, so. He does kind of take that responsibility by the end.
Yeah, and I would really like a book or something where I get more of these characters and like what they're dealing with. But overall...
Because it feels like it could have been like a Stephen King thing, right?
Yeah,
where like,
kind of.
You get like the home life of each of these kids before you see them come together for their ensemble adventure.
Yeah.
Except the threat's not nearly Stephen King-ish. It's very straightforward.
Right.
They're effectively just dogs.
Yeah.
But I don't consider it 90%. I give it like a 3 out of 5. blowing up best pals.
Aww.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, this was a fun movie to watch, yeah. even if it wasn't like something that we're all going to sit down and watch every weekend from now
right,
on.
Right, yeah. I'm glad we watched it.
I'm glad that we watched it, and again, thank you to Jake for suggesting this to us. We really appreciate that. If you want to catch more of our episodes, you can find those on our podcast, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and Opinionated Podcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's suggestions for what we should watch or your thoughts on our episodes. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating on iTunes. Between that and you sharing us with your friends is the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We always appreciate you guys listening. And until next time,
we're opinionated.